The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
And our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch. All right, this is our Christmas edition of Mule Talk.
Before we get started, Meredith, do you have a radar system there at the Lucky Three Ranch so that you can keep track of Santa and his elves and Rudolph?
We know exactly where Santa goes, and when he comes to the ranch, he usually gives his reindeer and Rudolph a rest. And he uses eight of our mules and Little Jack Horner, because Little Jack Horner and those mules are mules that were champions of mine. And they went to heaven, and now they are serving with Santa on Christmas.
Oh, cool. That's so neat.
Yeah, and then we always get to see them, because they land on the roof of the Jasper Bunkhouse.
Oh, I like it. So now we're going to talk about Christmas fun with your equine. This is really neat.
Yeah, we're really into Christmas here, and we decorate the whole ranch, and we don't waste any time with it, and especially when things are kind of depressing in the world. We like to keep things all smiles, grins, and sunshine, and sometimes that's pretty hard to do. So this year it got real tedious. So on October 1st, it used to be November 1st. Now, this year, October 1st, we said, no way, we're not celebrating any negative stuff this year, and that includes Halloween. We started decorating the ranch on October 1st, and it's all done now, and it just looks extraordinary. And the people in the neighborhoods just have such a great time. The traffic in front of the ranch has gotten quite extensive. They're saying we're the best kept secret around, and we have become the place to go see Christmas lights. We've had people telling us, asking us, are the lights up yet? Are the lights up yet? So starting on October 1st was actually a really good idea. And then every year, my crew thinks of a new exhibit to do in lights.
All right.
And so last year, we had this corral, this small corral that we have inside the dirt pen that is where we buried a giant water tank that feeds all our sprinkling systems. And we didn't want the mules tromping around on it and maybe breaking anything, so we built a fence around it. But last year, my crew said, that just looks too empty there at Christmas time. They went ahead and bought a 12-foot Christmas tree. They then bought 28 more small trees and put them in the corral around this big tree. We bought a life-size Santa and Mrs. Santa and Frosty the Snowman and 16 reindeer to put in there. And then Steve, who is always coming up with something original, decided that it had to have a white Sasquatch in there, too. So we put him in, and he has turned out to be quite the hit. We had the Christmas party after we did that, you know, in November last year, and it just made for great pictures. Of course, there's all kinds of lights and everything, new lights and a new scene for everybody to see, and they got all excited about it. And then my guys decided that maybe that wasn't enough. So on the pitch triangle of the hay barn, they got a whole bunch of lights, and they put in snowflakes and Christmas trees and a kicking donkey up there. So we got him too. But then we discovered this year that there was a really dark spot, and you can see it in the video, you know, the video Christmas cards that we post on Facebook. It's just right along the road. We built my ranch manager a new house, and of course he decorated that. But there's a big dark spot between his house and my house. And it is the front turnout pasture. So it's got sheds in there, and then it's got fence that runs north and south between our houses. And we went ahead and put lights on the roadside fence. But then the one in the back, it was still kind of dark until you got back to where the Jasper bunkhouse was. So the guys this year, they decided that maybe they needed to fill that space in a little bit. So Chad found Santa on a John Deere tractor pulling a trailer with an elf on it with presents in life. So we put that on the east side of the shed. And then he goes, well, there's a big, long stretch of fence in that, the back fence in that front pasture, going from that shed to my house. He bought a 12-foot by, oh gosh, that thing must be 25 feet maybe long in red that says Merry Christmas in lights. At 12 feet high by 20, 25 feet long.
Wow.
And then at the end of that, he found a nativity scene done in lights that are 12 feet by 42 feet. So we filled in that dark spot with all those new lights, and it just looks fabulous. And this gives our visitors, our looky-loos, something else to see, you know? And we don't do tours of the lights at Christmas time. That would just get too crazy. But what we do have is we have our private Christmas party the first weekend in December. And during the party, the people that are invited to the party get the privilege of getting the light tour of the whole ranch.
Cool.
But most of it you can see from the road anyway, and we don't have any problem with people driving up and down the road and taking a look at the lights, because you can see most of them from the road. And so with these colder months, you know, you'd think this would be downtime. The leaves fall off the trees and everything looks kind of bare. This is another reason why I use artificial flowers in a lot of places on the ranch, because it maintains the color. And then when you put up all of these multicolored lights in October now, October 1st, we won't take them down until after my birthday on February 5th. So that gives people several months to come out here and look at all these lights. And with the artificial flowers, it maintains color around the round pen. We've got flower boxes. Around the hot walker, we've got flower boxes. We've got planters against the garage and the house. And we keep flowers in all of those. And actually, you would think that would get really expensive, but they generally last for about 2 years, if not longer. Some of them even last 4 years. So if you were buying new flowers for those planters, you would spend more than you would for those artificial flowers.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is the real ones would have to be watered, and they would erode the foundation of the garage and the house eventually. So then you'd have a real problem. So there are practical reasons for doing what we do, and they do end up saving a lot of money when you do things. We've talked in the past about buying more expensive fences so they last longer, to lower the maintenance on the cost of your property. And we give all these things great thought before we even do them. We put it all down on paper, and we find out what it's going to cost, what it's likely to happen, maintenance costs, and our maintenance costs on the fence is next to nothing. And these flowers are even cheap over the years when you figure out how long those would last, too. And then we store all of the Christmas ornaments in the warehouse. We have a place for them so that they can stay nice. And then the guys even looked at that corral that they built with those 29 trees, and they said, well, we don't want to take all those apart because they're artificial trees and they come in three parts, if not more. And so what we did for storage, so we wouldn't have to do that, is we got netting for all those trees. And we just folded them up within their three pieces or more. The 12-footer has several pieces, more like five or six. And then in the equipment barn, the guys built a storage closet underneath the loft where they could keep the trees together like that and store them standing up in a dustproof closet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So all they had to do this year was just pull them out and go and anchor them in the corral, and they went up really fast. So we're always thinking about efficiency, too. And when you do this, then you don't get tired. It's not that much work. And you can get into experiencing the joy of the season. And this is what we did. So our morale was just going through the roof. We were happy that we were able to decorate for Christmas and start getting ready for the party. And even got all the Christmas cards ready to mail on December 1st. And just because of the efficiency, we were actually able to do things in a lot less time, which afforded us a lot more time to think about what we wanted to do fun-wise for Christmas. So usually you get so busy that you don't have time to think about going shopping, for instance, and all of that kind of stuff. And so when you have this extra time, then you can think about it. And you asked me last week about, what about getting animals, maybe mules for people for Christmas? And in all of our enthusiasm, we often don't think things through when
right.
it comes to things like that. You
right.
know,
yeah.
Those of us that have equines often revisit the warmth and the affection that we experience with our animals. And when we think about a gift for our friends and family, we might even consider getting them a dog or a cat, a horse, a pony, or even a long ears. But when we have these thoughts, we often disregard the actual maintenance and responsibilities that go along with our beloved live animals. So you need to ask yourself, will the recipient have a place to house and care for them? Will they have the time and the budget that we do? Now, we have learned to do things efficiently. We have learned to look for the lowest prices and the easiest way to feed and manage our animals in a healthy manner. But this has taken years for us to discover and to put into practice with the routines that we have built. And the other thing is a lot of the experience that I've had, for instance, is I've had to look into the laws in my area, and the lots that people are buying are shrinking. The farmers' lands have been bought up for development, and they've been forced into houses in town. And other people that want to live in rural America are now limited, basically, for the most part, to 5 acres. And then there are laws that govern those 5 acres. And I went ahead and went to a lot of the meetings about the horse industry, and there were more horses per capita right here in Loveland, where I live, when I moved here in 1980. But several years later, I think it was probably about 20 years ago, they decided that they had to take fees and start governing these horse properties. So the people that bought 5 acres and put up these small six-stall barns thought that they could have 2-4 horses and rent the other stalls that they had that were empty.
Sure.
But when the government got into it and said, no, you can't do that, and decided that they were going to get the money and they weren't going to let people make money that way, a lot of the bigger boarding stables moved out of here and moved down to Texas. And that made this a more urban area, and urban sprawl has been just spreading ever since. So you have to take into consideration, are these people even going to have a barn? Now, when I was in California, and I was 19 years old, I moved out of my parents' house, and they lived on a 27-acre place, and I had a horse there. And I wanted to have a horse, but I moved into a house on an acre with a garage.
There you go.
A yard. And it was in a rural area that was not governed by those kinds of laws at all. It was pretty free back then. So I did buy an half Arabian, half quarter horse mare, and I kept her in the garage. And I thought, that she could graze in the backyard during the day and go in the garage at night. And that worked out fine. And then I would ride her in the neighborhood because there wasn't any place really to go riding other than the neighborhood back then. But I went ahead and did that. But then I thought she might get lonely at night. So I bought her a companion. It was a black rabbit.
Oh, wow.
So she lived in the garage with a black rabbit. And that held for a while, but then later on, my husband died and I had to move. And it was probably good that I did, because when I did, I rented a property that had a lot more acreage for her. And so we moved there, and then I had to move again, and my life changed. But she ended up in a pen, a two-acre pen, that was next to an African lion cage.
Wow.
So, you know, the lessons that I learned back then were how to train in such a way as to not force things on your animal, but learn to console them for putting them in these horrible places. Putting them in.
Right.
Now,
right.
The beginning of learning to be more calm, less forceful about my training, to try to get the animals to comply by soothing and having compassion for them and introducing them in a more positive way. And during all this moving was when I went to school to learn behavior modification and how to be a psychiatric technician and use behavior modification, which is a reward system training. Just right there can show you how much there is to learn if you're going to give someone a live animal. And then you have to ask yourself, you've gone through all of these different things that you and I have both gone through with training, for instance. You know, we were very brave and did a lot of things that were utterly stupid that got us hurt. But would other people have the tenacity and the perseverance to even continue forward with an animal like that if they really didn't love animals as much as you and I do?
Right.
So getting a live animal, perhaps, is not a very good idea. Beyond the basics, like I just described, there's a lot of other things to consider. Different breeds of animals have different temperament and personalities. How would you go about selecting an animal that would be compatible with the friend or the family that you wanted to buy this animal for? There's no way to know, really, unless you spend some time with these animals. And then it's difficult enough when you're talking about a dog, a cat, a horse, or a pony, but you are considering a long ears as intelligent and particular as they are, then you know that they need to be able to choose you. So you would have to take that friend around to meet different animals before you could even select them.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's not a good idea to do that, in other words. But in the spring, summer, and fall, as they come and go, the cold days of winter can easily become an excuse to slow down and do less. But I contend that winter can be just as fun and full of activities with your equine as any other season. And when you do this, you maintain your positive, sunny attitude even through the dark gray days of winter. Along with the basics, food, water, and shelter, your equine needs activities to keep him fit and happy. And so do you. Like any of us, he doesn't want to be active only part of the year and then left alone during the winter months, bored and lonely,
right.
Not to mention the stress he'll feel when he has to be reconditioned every spring when he's been allowed to just sit around and get fat.
Sure.
And that happens to us too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Instead, it's healthier for him, both physically and mentally, to be active and maintained year-round. This doesn't mean you need to ride him 3 or 4 times a week throughout the winter. There are lots of other fun, diverse activities you can enjoy together that will adequately maintain his body condition while keeping him interested and happy. And that's really all you have to do. You just have to be a little bit more creative about what you do and where you do it, because a lot of us don't have indoor arenas or anything like that. Of course, in order to enjoy winter games and sports, you must first be sure to dress appropriately for the weather in your area. If you live in a cool or cold climate, dress in layer clothing you can easily remove if you need to. Wear a hat to conserve your body heat, and footwear that keeps your feet warm and dry. If you do that, you're likely to stay warm if you're moving around. Whatever your equine wears in cold weather is equally important. For instance, if your equine's winter coat tends to be on the thinner side, he may need a blanket for the long winter nights to keep his body from expending too much energy just trying to stay warm. And this will often start happening when he starts aging. It doesn't usually happen when they're young. So generally speaking, an equine's coat will adjust to the colder weather during the onset of fall and winter. So you don't want to blanket them. A lot of us will go, oh, I'm really cold. My animal must be cold, so I'm going to put a blanket on him. And they don't feel that way. They don't get cold like we do.
No.
And it's a bad idea to put the blanket on. They don't really need it, because the hair coat needs to stand on end in order to insulate the equine properly during cold, heat, and even in the summer, insect invasions during the various seasons. So if your equine has a healthy coat, no blanket is really necessary. And the way you can tell if he needs it or not is if he's shivering. If he's shivering, then he's cold, put a blanket on him. But be ready to take it off if it starts to warm up a little bit.
Right.
This is a responsibility that's going to be there. Although a blanket will also serve to mat down his coat, so there's less chance of his coat becoming entangled in his tack or harness, it can also cause the hair to operate improperly for keeping him warm. You need to keep that in mind. There needs to be a practical reason for using winter blankets, or they can make your equine sick. Just because you're cold, like I said, it doesn't mean they're cold, unless they have visible shivering. As they age, they might do this, and then you have to pay attention to that. If you have a stall for your equine just for winter months, be careful about keeping them in the stall. They need the turnout time during the day, especially long ears, and even horses, mules, ponies, donkeys. All of them can get claustrophobic if you just keep them in a stall. And if you have them in a wooden barn, you're going to lose your wood. They're going to develop bad habits like vices like cribbing. And they're just going to tear it apart. And what really amazed me was how they could chew on a flat wall.
Oh, but
they
yeah.
can put holes in flat walls. They can do things you would never think that they could do. If you have a stall for the equine, just for the winter months, you might want to trace clip him in the areas that get most sweaty, because when he's worked, he may sweat if he's got a hair coat going on. For instance, below his neck, his chest, behind the forearms, under the belly, and up into the flanks. And you can do what's called a body clip on him. If you're exercising him enough to sweat, it will keep his circulation good and helps keep his body warm so he can stay flexible and supple. And this cuts way down on his muscle and bone stiffness. But be sure to begin any and all workouts and recreational activities with consistent and appropriate warm-up exercises and warm-down exercises. So then he will need a blanket, because you have compromised certain areas to keep warm, and even in a stall they can't always stay warm. So again, if you trace clip, you're going to need a blanket. And sometimes if it gets really cold, you might need to, but just be sure to monitor him carefully and reach under the blanket, and if he's sweating under the blanket and you got two blankets on him, take it off. Take one of them off. If you've got one blanket on him and it's warmed up during the day, take it off and put it back on him at night. You don't want him to sweat underneath that blanket. You'll get cold from that. Since most inclement weather produces slippery ground surfaces, if your equine is to be used extensively, it's important that he has appropriate shoes on his feet during the slippery season. On strictly muddy or slippery surfaces, tapping and drilling studs into his shoes can help immensely in giving him added traction. If cared for properly, you can remove these studs when you don't need them. You can put on tap and die shoes. If you get snow in your area, you might want to go as far with borium shoes and rim pads. The borium shoes supply good traction while the rim pads prevent snow from balling up in your equine's feet, and it's easy to remove that way when attached to a flat rim pad. I also suggest using split boots on all four legs at this time during the season. It's easy for a hind leg to slide too far forward and cause the animal to pick up a front foot too quick, and it can hit them, and injury to the coronary band can get really bad. So you want to protect those legs and protect them low around the fetlock joints in the coronary band. Bell boots are really good for protecting the coronary band. Riding on this treacherous winter ground carefully can actually enhance core strength and postural balance. You just use your head about how fast you try to go and look for perfection and accuracy in what you're doing more than speed during the winter months. And then when you can add the speed in the summer, spring, summer, and fall, if you've been practicing in the winter, he's going to have a stronger core and he's going to be much more balanced in good posture. So his performance will be enhanced. There's a lot of different winter games you can play with your equine, and if you have a friend who wants to participate too, there are even more possibilities. With proper shoes on your equine and good flat ground, and if the weather permits, there are so many gymkhana games you can play. Or how would you like to take a brisk cross-country gallop on your equine with a few fences to jump? If your equine is trained properly and has this stronger core and balance, there's a lot more things you can do. Or you and your friend can take an exciting ride on a tire or a sled, taking turns with one person riding the equine while the other rides the sled with the tire tied to the saddle horn by a rope. You can have more friends with equines, and you can even have winter races. You're limited only by your own imagination. You just have to keep safety in mind while you're doing all these things. And keep in mind the kind of stress it's going to put on your animal while you're doing it. And just keep it slow and enjoyable and safe and easy for both of you. What are your abilities? What are your limitations? What is your level of physical conditioning and that of your equine? Whatever activities the two of you do to keep busy, happy, and healthy during the winter months, the name of the game should always be winter fun. If you have a very young equine, make sure to consistently continue your routine handling him through the entire winter. I don't suggest lunging very young equines on the treacherous winter ground unless you have the advantage of using an indoor arena. Then you can continue his lunging training. And because outside, it would be so easy for him to slip and slide and sprain something. You can still take him for walks on the lead line. You can ground drive him through various winter scenes where he gets to see different things and get introduced to them. You can always spend plenty of time grooming him. That's extended imprinting. All of this will accustom him to winter's unique terrain and obstacles. It will maintain his essential and continued imprinting and bonding with you. It will build his self-confidence and maintain his good manners. And as you know, if you want something to become a habitual behavior, it has to be done all the time.
Right.
Consistency and continuous practice. If your equine is well trained, it might be fun to attend winter clinics. Those can often be done indoors. Just dress for the occasion. You can even visit elementary schools and introduce children to your equine, and they find particular interest in long ears and would welcome these introductions. You just got to call ahead and make arrangements for not only going over there, but where you're going to show these animals to the kids. It might be on the playground. It might be in the parking lot. And if it's a small mini donkey or a mini mule, and he's trained to be calm around crowds, and he's used to being inside, and I've been known to take my animals, even the full-size ones, in the house, so they can get that kind of training. And if they can, then you can even go into a school classroom. One of the things that I used to do, too, is make appearances with my mules and donkeys for ad campaigns and everything. And one of the times that we did in a campaign was when the sales reps came to Denver to do a presentation and a conference at the Jack Daniel's distillery. And I took little Jack Horner in there because they wanted him to be packing bottles of Jack Daniel's.
Oh.
They didn't tell me it was on the second floor. But, you know, I had gone ahead and introduced LJ to all kinds of things. So I thought, well, so we're going to ride in an elevator. Okay. And we did. And we got up there and we went into the conference room and stood in the corner with the packs of Jack Daniels on his back. And I was just hoping and praying he wouldn't poop on the floor, and he didn't.
Oh, good.
I think he was so scared he didn't dare. And then when it was over, we rode right back down the elevator. But the smiles that you put on people's faces will add to the joy of giving in your heart and enhance the reason for the season for all of you. Just like I said, be sure to call ahead and make definite appointments for these kinds of activities. The better trained the equine is, the more possibilities there are for winter sports and games. If the idea of taking lessons at a riding stable appeals to you that has an indoor arena, then winter tends to be a less hectic and more peaceful time of the year in which to learn and practice without the added stress and anxiety of showing and other warm weather activities. And there's generally not a lot of other people that will be taking lessons at the same time, so you'll probably end up having the arena pretty much to yourself. And if you want to forego the lessons, there are numerous stables that will rent the use of their indoor arenas for a nominal fee, and there are places where you can even trail ride through beautiful winter scenes. People and equine alike seem to derive great pleasure from these winter get-togethers when they are carefully and responsibly planned. You can even plan and enjoy a winter trail ride in the mountains.
Oh.
You might not be able to ride beyond the snow line, but you can ride up to the snow line and enjoy the breathtaking vistas that the mountains afford. Just be sure to plan ahead and know what kind of weather you'll be facing on any given day. Another great way to have fun with your equine is participating in winter games and holiday parades. Christmas is always a joyous time to bring your equine out of the barn. Consider decorating your equine, dressing up yourself, and then riding or driving with friends and family in your local Christmas parade, or even in the neighborhood. This could be loads of fun. Caroling aboard your equine or driving in a surrey or a carriage through your neighborhood is also a wonderful way for you, your equine, and your neighbors to get in the holiday spirit. Oftentimes, when my equines and I have gone out caroling after a Christmas parade, the neighborhood children have come out to sing and dance behind our caroling caravan. This kind of pure joy is contagious and always reminds me about the true meaning of the Christmas season. So let's get back to considering the gifts for your family and friends. Spend time getting to know their likes and dislikes during the rest of the year. It would be better to find out if they have any interest in live animals. And it will also enhance your communication beyond texting. You'll find subjects that you both like and get engaged in, and your conversations will become more animated and more engaged. And the things that you find out about each other might be pretty extraordinary to you. You might find out things you never even knew. And then you'll get an idea of what kind of a Christmas gift do you want to buy or purchase or get for your friend or even make for your friend. It doesn't all have to involve money. You can braid lead ropes out of baling twine. There are just so many things that are possible, and there are lots of books and videos available and coupons that you can buy and gift certificates and all that. And for one thing, they can visit our websites at Lucky3Ranch.com and at EveryCowgirlsDream.com. And we have lots of things for them on our websites for presents. And then this is also a way for them to educate themselves about the responsibilities and the tasks involved in getting to know and maintaining a live animal. And they may actually develop an interest in a live animal once they know what it entails. It doesn't have to be, oh, this is just going to be a lot of work. And if you introduce them to the right way to feed, interact, and maintain these live animals, they might actually find that they enjoy helping you with these things.
Oh, yeah.
This approach will provide you all with the warmth and affection that you all deserve. With the onset of computers and so much technology, people forget that you can literally travel the world through books and videos. You can learn to communicate better and enjoy deeper relationships. And this will greatly expand your horizons and offer a brighter future for everyone. This is a much more appropriate way to offer a suitable gift at Christmas time. So think about all these things we've talked about today, and all of our fans and friends, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Meredith, and thank you for everything.
Thank you, Cindy. I think that the interviews that we do, the podcasts we do every week, are a weekly gift to
yes.
all of those who appreciate us.
Yes, yes. I just think this is wonderful that God has given us gifts, and we are sharing them with other people. So that's really neat.
And they let us know all the time. The ones who let us know are so wonderful, and I really appreciate it, because a lot of times the only people you hear from are people that want to criticize what you said. There
yeah.
are people like that that just look for something to be wrong, and I'm really sorry that they feel that they can only build up their own self-esteem by criticizing someone else when they don't even realize how much more joy can be afforded when you share the information that you have, and share the stories of learning that you have, no matter how embarrassing they may be. And this brings to mind one story that made me feel really, really bad. I had decided that I was going to send 4 mules to auction, and this was during the time when I had 2 kids. I was engaged to their father, and I had my own daughter, and I was telling the kids, okay, we got too many mules, I got to get rid of some of these mules. And so I designated 4 mules to go to the auction, and I told the kids, here's the rest of the mules, pick one. And one of the adoptive daughter that I had said that she wanted one of the mules I was sending to auction. And I told her, I says, well, you can't really have Felicia because she has to be sold. But here's her sister, Angel. And Angel looks just exactly like her. She's just a little bigger. And the little girl said, no, I want Felicia. And I said, well, I'm sorry, she's leaving this weekend, and I can't give you that mule. Well, she got really heartbroken over that.
Oh.
And I've remembered that to this day. And that happened way back in, I guess it must have been about 94.
Okay.
And that was before I learned as much as I have learned about these different personalities, these different temperaments, and how, you know, I was of the mind that a certain breed was this way, as the males are this way, the females were that way, until I managed to get a few years under my belt and realize that, no, you cannot make generalizations and stereotypes like that. That every single animal and every single human being is an individual, and they need to be appreciated for who they are and approached in training for the animals and in learning for the kids, in learning for even adults, that they're all different, and you adjust your communication accordingly, and then you both benefit from it. If you deal in stereotypes and generalizations about people and animals, you are doomed to fail.
Yes.
And I, to this day, I now know why the little girl wanted Felicia, because they were compatible.
Oh, yes.
It was that simple.
Wow.
And Angel does not have the same personality that Felicia had, but I didn't realize that back then. But see, that's why I want to share this story with people, so that maybe they will learn to look at things differently, too.
Sure.
And maybe when their children say they like a certain animal, even if we don't, it doesn't mean they won't get along with it. We may have to work harder.
There you go.
To keep them safe. But that doesn't mean it's not doable. And so this is the reason for sharing stories. And I also feel like this is the reason that the elders were so important in the families, because they got older and couldn't do a lot of things, but they sure as heck could tell stories about their own experience. And when they do that, they give us the benefit of their learning. Now, it's up to us whether we're going to pay attention to it or not. My grandmother was the epitome of cliches. And in the beginning, I didn't really know how beneficial all of those stories were going to be, particularly one of, you're going to be a sorry old woman if you don't learn to walk in good posture and have good manners. Well, that's the crux of my entire training program.
Yeah.
And it has been so incredibly successful. But do you think I knew what she meant back then?
No way.
No way. It takes time and experience and patience. And the mules are more than happy to help us to learn those things.
You bet, Meredith. Oh, Meredith, this is wonderful. You have an awesome day. We'll talk soon.
You too, Cindy.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl Stream production.